You know, amazingly, Dennis said that that song kind of goes with the reading. Well, it more than kind of goes with the things I'm going to say also. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Well, thank you, Don. You read the entire chapter for me, so I don't have to worry about preaching the sermon now. So if you... No. Jesus did a lot of teaching. His mission, as a matter of fact, when he came to this earth, was to bring awareness, was to bring salvation, was to open the door to everyone, to explain to everyone what all of those things and all of those laws and all of those rules and all of that teaching that God had done with his chosen people meant. And how it meant that everyone, regardless of creed, regardless of birthplace, had the opportunity to be in his family, to be one church, be one people. And it was no longer restrictive. And that when the portion of scripture that I've chosen to comes from a section that is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. As we know, in at least in Matthew, from chapters 5 to 7, is all of those things that Jesus taught. Now, he had done a little bit before, because this is right after he comes out of his time in the desert and his temptations and his testing by the devil. And believe me, as you look at that and you read through chapter 4 as kind of an introduction and aside, as you read through chapter 4 and you look at all those things, he says that he was baptized, that he went out into the desert, and he fasted. Now, I don't know about you, but as I'm reading this, and it says that he went into the desert and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry.
Really?
About a day and I'm done for. Mm-hmm. 40 days and 40 nights. So he's just now coming out of being tempted by the devil. When he comes up and it says at the beginning of chapter 5, he says, "Now when he saw a crowd, he went up to the mountainside, he sat down, and his disciples came to him and began to teach them." And he taught them a lot of things. He taught them things that we call the Beatitudes. He taught them about being blessed and poor in spirit. He teaches them about mourning. He teaches them about hunger. He teaches them, and this is all spiritual stuff. And the people are getting it on a physical vein. And he's doing his best. And he teaches about salt and light. He says that salt of the earth. And what is that? They were kind of getting it on a physical level. And he was teaching spiritual things. He says, "You're the salt of the earth." Why? What is that? You're the ones that are going to take the message from me, and you're going to spread it around, and you're going to season my people. You're going to teach them. It's that thing, that's that attitude that's required. They didn't get it. But they would. And so he's teaching in these different things, and fulfillment of the law. And he says, and the people understood the old law. They understood you can't murder, you can't commit adultery, you can't covet, you can't, you know, all of those things. And Jesus said, "But you're taking this all black and white, man. You're taking this all too literally." You see, yeah, I beat the guy up, but he's not dead, so it's okay, right? But Jesus said, no. He says, what was your intent? That's the crime. He says, I want to get you away from that. I want you to start thinking about what is right and what is wrong. And not going right to that edge and saying, well, I didn't quite do that, so I'm okay. What was your intent? Going up into, is he, all of those things, he was kind of taking that law and saying, this is what it truly means. This is where it really is. You can't commit adultery. You can't go, okay, so I didn't do that. And I thought about it. And Jesus said, that's enough. This is what it means. I want you to purify. I want you to get on the right side. I want you to get on the right thinking. And when he gets all done with all of that stuff, he kind of shifts gears. And this is the gear that I want to go into. This is all of those things where he says, number one, he wants you to look at your attitude. He says, what are you doing this for? He says, be careful in your acts of righteousness before men that you don't do them. He says, what does all of that mean? Being careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. For if you do, you have no reward. Don't announce to the world that you're giving to the needy. Don't stand on the street corners and pray loudly. He says, what is he really saying there? He's saying, I want you to get with the attitude of, where is your heart? What are you looking for? What do you really want? Do you want to be known yourself, or do you want to get the message out? What is your reward? What's your motivation? Jesus says your motivation should be to bring out, to bring the people, to bring the world to me, not to be stood up on a pedestal. Going up in the tower and saying, give me $50,000 or God's going to take me tonight. Good luck to you, buddy. He says, that's the wrong motivation. Do it in silence. Do it in secret. Get the things out. Get the word out. You don't want to be the one that's, oh, well, we're going to follow old Brother Jim. Why are we going to follow old? Because Brother Jim, he's got to have the right message, man. He's it. No. We're going to follow Father God. And Brother Jim is just the conduit that gets the word out to us. Period. That's what it comes down to. Just don't be a hypocrite about it. What are your motivation? What are you looking for? In your personal life of praise and devotion, you don't want to be projecting. That was the whole purpose in fasting. We don't do that a whole lot anymore. When they in the rules of fasting, there were things that you had to do. Well, Jesus says, when you're fasting, what are you doing? You're supposed to be denying yourself something so as to make yourself more available to accept and project praise. That's what fasting was all about. It wasn't a matter of losing weight. Well, oh, by the way, if you lost weight, I know where it is. It wasn't all about that. It was all about you were denying yourself so as to make yourself available to receive. That was fasting, and there were certain things you were supposed to do. Jesus says, "No, don't project out. Don't go wandering around going, oh, hey, look how pious I am. I'm fasting today. See how ugly I look? To what good? To what end is that?" He says, "You've already received your reward. You haven't done anything. Now you've got everybody going, oh, hey, you look a wonderful guy. No reward. You got it all. It's right there. You made an example of yourself in the wrong direction." He continued teaching when he started talking in treasures in heaven. He says, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust and thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven. Again, the people weren't getting it. Are all of your, what is it? You see the bumper stickers? I've seen them for a long time. I won't say. I've seen them for a very long time. He who dies with the most toys wins. Well, no. I won't say that that you shouldn't have anything at all, because that's not taught either. But he who dies with the most toys doesn't win. He who dies with the most access, the door open, and walking through into the gates wins. Because your reward isn't here. He who dies with the most toys just has a bunch of toys to get left behind for somebody else to have. We've heard the phrase over and over and over against amongst us here. Somebody else is going to own it. I can tell you in my business, I see it every day, somebody else is going to own it. It doesn't matter. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. What did he mean by that? He says, where your treasure is, there is your heart. Why? Because if I have a bunch of stuff, what am I going to do to make sure I keep that stuff? I'm going to be concerned with the security of that stuff. I'm going to be concerned about, does it work? Does it not work? Does it run? Does it not run? Is it clean? Is it not clean? Do I have the most, greatest, and up-to-datest? I know people that are so concerned that because they bought this phone or this computer or this laptop or this whatever, and oh my gosh, they came out with a new generation yesterday, I'm going to go get one. That's what all their concern is. Are you kidding me? No. I know people that would not be in the assembly today if this is where they were, because guess what? There's a huge sale going on right now at Best Buy for the electronics that are brand new out. But that's what he's saying. Let's measure your concern. Where is it? Put your treasure where your treasure belongs. He didn't say throw everything away. I know that there's a lot of thought and process about that. Where people say, "Well, you know what? When in Acts, when they were when Peter was talking about selling your goods and laying your and of course, Ananias and Sapphira, they come up and they say, "Oh, like how they sold this property." Then his wife comes in and there's the money. What happened to them? They were struck dead. What is the assumption there? I've heard a whole bunch of times. The assumption there was that they sold the property, but they didn't really want to. And that what was being taught at that time was Christian communism. It's not true. Because what did Peter answer them? He said, didn't you own the land before you sold it? Didn't you have full access to the funds before you brought them? Why lie to the Spirit? He said, you lied to the Spirit. That was the crime. You lied to the Spirit, not to men. I firmly believe that based on that statement, if they'd have come in and said, yes, I sold the land for $50, but here's 70 of it, would they have been struck down? I don't think so, personally. Because what they said was, yes, we sold the land and this is what we got for it. And then hid back some, and they contrived between them to say, oh, yeah, that's what we'll tell them that we sold it for. We'll keep this for ourselves. If they'd have walked in and said, I sold the land for 50 and there's 40 of it, they may have been asked for the other 10. I doubt it. But be honest about it. He didn't say you have to be in poverty. What he did say is put your mind going in the right direction. Be concerned about the right things. If you're rich, you're rich. And I'll tell you what, the rich don't stay rich by spending their money and giving their stuff away. What was the other story about the rich young ruler? What did Jesus tell him? He said, sell everything that you have and give to the poor. Did he say give everything to the poor?
Yep.
What he told him was to refocus on his life. what he told him was to get rid of the distraction. Nobody ever said having possessions is wrong. If that were the case, why are all the stories about guarding against the robbers? If I've got nothing, I don't have to guard against any of them. They're going to come in and rob me of what? Dust. He says you can't serve both God and money. Because there, you will have a greater... You can't combine those two. Both have a great need of absolute concentration. So what's the important one? I think we know the answer to that question. You can't serve both because it takes a lot of it. It takes a lot of concentration. Don't get rid of it. He says, therefore, don't worry about the things in your life. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you wear. Don't worry about it. Why did he say don't worry about it? Well, as you read through and you say, therefore, don't worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink, about your body, what you shall wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? And he talks about the birds of the air. They don't store up in barns. They don't sow. They don't reap. But they're fed. Worrying about your clothes. He says, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was not dressed like the grass and the flowers of the field. Just don't worry about these things. Your Father knows what you need. Now, is he saying at this, remember Jesus is still talking, this is his lesson from the mountaintop. Is Jesus saying in all of that, don't worry about all these things, just sit in the corner, put your hand out, and it's all going to fall in? No, he's not. Because remember, what's his thrust in all of that lesson, in all of that time to be spending? Well, he said, we haven't even touched a third of his lesson. I'm not going to go any further than that, believe me. It's all about focus. It's all about focus. He says specifically, don't worry about what you'll eat, what you drink, what you shall wear. He says in verse 32, he says, the pagans run all after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. What he's saying is, refocus in your life. Focus on me. I'm here to take care of you. The opportunities will be there. What do I have to do about it? I have to pray like it depends on God, and then I have to work like it depends on me. If I join all of that together, I will be successful. Will I be Howard Hughes? Well, I might not get lucky, but... No, I won't be. I don't have that kind of a mind. But will I starve to death? No, I won't. I never have. Obviously. Will I ever have need of clothing? No, never have. Will I ever have need of a place to live? No, never have. Uncloud your thinking. Separate out. Get your priorities in order. That's the whole thrust of every measure to work. One little phrase in there that really kind of fascinates me. And I've actually had people tell me that it works, and I don't know how. He says, by worrying about your life, can you add a single hour to your own life? Think about it. By worrying about the things in your life, can you add a single hour to your life? My answer to that question is no. My answer to that question is, when the time has come, and that's it. My second answer to that question is, by worrying and trying to, what am I doing? I'm adding stress, and I'm shortening that time immediately. By worrying about the things, and he says, let tomorrow worry about it tomorrow. Yeah, I could absolutely positively today consume my entire day with concern about tomorrow. I have so much going on tomorrow, I have absolutely no idea how I'm going to accomplish it. It will get accomplished. But I could certainly sit in the corner and worry about it to no end. Because I got enough things to worry about today. And today could be any day whatsoever. Sun goes down, sun comes up, there's stuff to worry about. But don't be consumed by that worry. Depend on. Pray like it depends on God. Work like it depends on you. Together, you'll get it done. Because the answer is there. Now, I can promise you, I will never, ever, ever tell you, take the book and open it up, and it will tell you, turn right. Not going to happen. If you're looking for an absolute positive day-to-day, minute-by-minute, second-by-second roadmap for your life, you will be lost. The Bible is principle. The Bible is teaching. The Bible is direction. But there's absolutely, and yes, there is an answer to every question, but it's mostly in principle. Because there's no way to predict the question. I've told people before when I'm doing seminars, if somebody wants to ask, you say, okay, well, now we'll have question and answer time. The person that says, what if, there's no answer to that question. And this is why Jesus taught in principle. Because when the Pharisees came to him and said, that question, because there's always a what if that follows. It's all in principle, and that's what Jesus is teaching throughout his whole lesson in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's all principle. Here's focus. Use it. Go that direction. Here's some examples to avoid the pitfalls. Here's the principle. Follow that example. If I take away something, life and time abhors a vacuum. If I take away something, I have to fill it with something else. What do I fill it with? If I take away worry, I bring in God. Because God is going to fill that hole. Because now I'm going to refocus myself. Take that worry away and say, okay, God, this is what I got going on today. Looking for your help here. I'm not looking for sit in the corner and have this little thought of something come streaming into my brain and go, okay, I get it. Looking for that focus. Need your help. Okay. I'm looking for caring. What do I need to do? Okay, here's the direction. This is what you should do. Okay, good, I can do that. How do I get that? I have to be faithful. Oh, part of what he's teaching right here. Faithful to who? Faithful to God. Faithful to his promises. Faithful to his premise. Faithful to his focus. I have to. And it's a saving faith. We know what that means. Because when it should, faith is just believing in something. I can believe that the world is round without ever walking around it to prove that it's round. I have faith that the world is right. Does that do anything for me? No. Saving faith says, this is what it is. you have faith. You have a belief in something, and there may be something that you need to do. Say to me, Lord. God says, have faith in me, believe in me, trust in me. What do I have to do? I have to do that. Number one is I have to believe, excuse me, I have to have faith that, number one, there is God. I will never, ever, ever say there is a God to anyone. There is God. God is. That's number one. Number two, I have to study and understand what is that God wants from me. I have to turn around. I have to repent. I have to say, okay, now I understand, God, that this is the type of person that you want me to be. And this is the type of person that I was. I have to repent of that. What is repentance? Repentance is not, I'm sorry. Repentance is truly turning around, being so disgusted with that old life that it just physically sickens you to go after it. That's repentance. That's turning around. That's going, I'm not going that direction anymore. That's repentance. Confession. In what? No, I do not ask anyone to come up here and say, well, last week I did this, and then this morning I thought about that. No. The confession that he's talking about is confession in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that confession? That I know Jesus Christ is God's Son. That I know that Jesus the Christ did live and work on this earth. I know that Jesus the Christ did in fact go through trial, torture, the Romans call it examination, crucifixion. He did in fact die. He did not faint. He did not go to sleep. He did in fact die on that cross. He was in fact buried in that tomb in the garden. He was in fact raised 3 days later. He did in fact walk amongst us again before he ascended to the Father to assume his place on the right hand of God. That's the confession. Continuing on in that saving faith is to be baptized. This is not an opinion of man. This is not a choice. This is not something that somebody dreamt up because they thought it was a great idea. The saving faith of baptism is something that Jesus himself said. Jesus himself said, repent and be baptized. He said, go into the world and teach all nations all things that I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father for the remission of sins. Jesus said it. It's not something that somebody dreamt up because they thought it was a cool thing to do as part of your initiation. He said it. It's said again all throughout the scriptures. It's said again all through, it, over and over and over and over and over again. It's something that has to be done. To rise and walk in newness of life. Newness of life means I am now focused in a different direction. That's all it means. I'm focused in a different direction. If you are baptized and you come out and just go, okay, it's cool, now I can keep on living the way I was, what you do? It's a mark. It's an acceptance. It's an access. And that's what it is. And that's something that we must absolutely positively do, to live and walk in the newness of life. It is an invitation that is presented each and every time we gather, each and every time that Jesus speaks, a station that is offered because we all want desperately. If you're subject to that invitation, you'll have the opportunity at this point to come up and ask to make that confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the God. If you have prayer requests, if you have any concerns you wish to make known, the people. Now is the time to do that. Let's stand. We're going to sing the song. Sing, give me that out.